believe already. When you're having fun, amen, it passes by quickly, don't it? Amen. Just appreciate Valley View Baptist Church. Appreciate your pastor. Appreciate Sister Sherry, their family, and what they mean to us. Appreciate you, amen, your faithfulness all week long. And we are thrilled about the souls already this week, amen. And that's the way I like to see it, amen. Come in, folk getting saved, and shows the Lord's working, and folk are thinking about their situation, where they're at with the Lord. Amen. That's what you need to do. Amen. You need to know that you know the Lord as personal Savior, because that's really all that's going to matter. Amen. Is that you know Him as personal Savior. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. And boy, didn't the youth do good. Amen. They did a great job. I appreciate all the youth. Amen. And just I tell you, that's who we need to train. We need to teach them. Amen. And certainly thankful for them. I do be praying for my family, as Brother Boone said. They'll be traveling up tomorrow. They'll be back up here, Lord willing, for church time. Be with us Thursday and Friday night. So we're looking forward to that. And just take our time and see what God has for us tonight. So Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. You can keep your seats tonight. I've got several verses to read, starting in verse 1. The Bible said, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto them, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now, I want to bring your attention tonight to verse number 5, where the Bible said Peter therefore was kept in prison. But notice this, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I want to preach tonight with the Lord's help on when the church prays. Amen. When the church prays. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the past couple nights. But Lord, tonight is a new night. Father, we thank you for what we've already heard here tonight. Father, the soul that was saved. We thank you for the youth. Lord, all those that made their way out tonight. And Father, I pray that we'll be an encouragement to your people tonight. And Father, I pray you'll just speak through us, hide us behind the cross, Father, and just put the words in our mouth, Father, that may go out and penetrate hearts, Father, that folk will evaluate themselves, Lord, whether they're saved, whether they're lost, Lord, whatever the need, whether they're in a backslidden state. Lord, and I want to encourage them tonight to pray and to continue to pray. And Father, we love you. We thank you for this church. Thank you for this pastor. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When the church prays, I want to encourage you tonight, church, to never underestimate the power of a praying church. Never underestimate the power of a praying church. And as I
thought about this message today. I got thinking about a prayer meeting a little over 2 years ago there at the church. Wednesday night, I grew up a fundamentalist, amen, all my life. I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and of course prayer meeting, and folk do it a little bit different, but how it was when I went to church there on Wednesday nights at those two churches that I was in, my friend, they would get up and we'd sing a song, and then we'd take prayer requests, and then we'd come and we'd pray around the altar, and then the choir would sing a couple songs, and then we'd study the Bible. Nothing wrong with that, amen? But listen, friend, I got thinking about why did they start prayer meeting? Why did they start prayer meeting? And about 2 years ago, in the month of May, I told the church, they come in one night, I had a bunch of papers, I hand them papers, I hand them pens, and I ask them to just put a burden on their heart on that piece of paper and just put it in a basket. Everybody looked at me like I was a little off, amen, and maybe they were right, but that was the burden on my heart. And, you know, I got thinking while they started to pray. They started to pray for those in the military, amen. And I got thinking about that, and we did that for the whole month of May, and certainly towards the end of the month, there was an old saint of God sitting back in the back of the church. She came up to me. She said, "Pastor Duane," she said, "I'm having prayers answered. I'm having prayers answered. Can't we keep doing this? Can we keep doing this?" And I said, "You know, I don't want to be doing something just to be doing it. I want to do it because God wants me to do it." But other folks started coming to me and said, "Preacher Duane, I'm really having prayers answered. I'd love to keep doing this." So I said, "We'll take it one Wednesday night at a time." And it's been 2 years now. The Wednesday nights have grown. Folk, listen, my friend, we've seen souls saved. And folk will say, "Preacher, you can take that name out of the basket." Amen. They put that name in there. You say, "Was it in the basket? Was it on those pieces of paper?" It's not the pieces of paper. It's not the basket. Amen. It's the faith. Amen. That burden that they put in there. And as we meet as a church family, and I'll give them a nugget, amen, from God's word. And then we'll get to praying. Amen. And we say, "Hey, you pray as long as you want to pray." Amen. Sometimes we'll go down Sunday school rooms. Sometimes we'll get in the choir. Sometimes we'll get around the church. And we'll just cry out to God. Amen. And you know, I believe in prayer. Amen. And I'm glad tonight that if you're looking, if you're saved here tonight, you're a result of prayer. Amen. Somebody prayed for you. But I find seven things in this passage that took place as the church prayed. Number one, a messenger from God came to Peter. Notice there in verse number 7, the Bible said, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side." So, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him." You know, I'm thankful tonight that the Lord uses human messengers. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord uses human messengers, men to preach. I'm going to say that one more time. Amen. Men to preach. Thank God for the ladies that stand and teach. Amen. Listen, uses human messengers. He uses His word. And He uses a conviction by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight for the men of God. Aren't you? Amen. Listen, if it wasn't for the man of God, I'm glad that He chose through the foolishness of preaching. Amen. To save those that'll believe. Listen, not foolish preaching. I've heard some foolish preaching. But through the foolishness of preaching. My friend, the Bible says in Romans 10 verse 14, "And how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Thank God for the man of God. Thank God for that messenger that'll stand from week to week. Listen, we'll stand, my friend, and preach the word of God. Listen, we need some God-called men. We need some men that'll stand and preach the word of God without compromise, my friend, without fear of man. You say, preacher, listen, are you trying to hurt feelings? A good man of God, he won't get up trying to hurt feelings. I'll tell you what he'll do, though. He'll stand up in the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost of God, and he'll preach exactly what God wants him to preach, amen, no matter who or what, amen, they say, amen. You know why? Because he has given God's message. And I'm going to tell you something today. We need the truth in our churches today, amen. Listen, folk are not looking. Many are running to and fro, and those that are entertaining, those that are bringing the world into the church. But let me say it. I'll tell you what, folk, true born-again believers are hungry for, and that is the truth of God's word. Amen. We need messengers today that will share the good news of the gospel. Not only a messenger from God came to Peter, but number two, I find that a light shone in the prison. Verse number 7, the Bible said, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Listen, do you remember, my friend, where you were when God's word, that light shined down in the darkness of your soul? I thank God I remember that old Hank Williams song said, I saw the light, I saw the light, no more in darkness, no more in night. I'm glad God's got a messenger, amen. Yeah, he's still calling his preachers, and he'll still have his preachers, amen. Listen, friend, he'll have them all the way down. My friend, he comes back and he'll still have his men that'll be preaching. But let me say it like this, my friend, that light shined in that darkness. My friend, I remember where I was when I heard the word of God like I'd never heard it. And my friend, listen, we can clean ourselves up, but the truth of the matter is we all sinners, my friend, born into this world sinners, my friend, separated from God. But thanks be unto God for that faithful messenger that'll continue to stand, and that light shine down in that darkness and reveal, my friend, and let you know that you're lost without God. I'm telling you what this world needs. They need some more messengers to stand and shine and give out the word of God. My friend, to shine down in those old dark souls. My friend, listen, this is revival. I want you to go back to that time when you heard the message. Aren't you glad somebody preached to you and that light shined down in that dark soul, and you realize that church membership wasn't going to cut it. You realize that the baptismal pool or in the river is not going to cut it. Being a good neighbor is not going to cut it. But thanks be unto God, you realize when that light was shining down in the darkness, you realize that he was a holy God, and you was a sinner on your way to a devil's hell. Amen. I'm thankful for his messengers. I'm thankful for the light that was shining. Amen. The Bible says, Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The messenger came and the light shone. But not only that, listen, the angel smote Peter on the side. Verse 7, the Bible says, and he smote Peter on the side and raised up, saying, arise up quickly. In other words, he's saying, wake up. He's saying, wake up. I want you to think about Peter. And if you go back over here and you look at the first part of chapter number 12, you'll find that Herod the king, verse 1, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. We know that Herod was persecuting the church. He had killed James, the brother of John, there in verse number 2. And the Bible says he saw it pleased the Jews. So he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him 4 quadrants of soldiers to keep him in intending after Easter to bring him forth. So there's about 16 guards guarding him. They had him chained to these Roman guards. And can you imagine what Peter was doing? Peter was getting ready to face a trial. And Peter was most likely going to be put to death. But you know what he was? He was in there sleeping, amen, between these two soldiers.
Amen.
Peter had been there before. Amen. He'd been there before, been in prison a couple more times. And if you study your Bibles, you know that the Lord told him, my friend, he was going to grow old. Amen. The Lord told him he was going to grow old. And when he grew old, he told him how he's going to die. Amen. In the Word of God. So I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Peter knew that what he was facing, but he also knew the promises of God. And my friend, listen, you can still in this day bank on the promises of God. How many of you have a King James Bible in your hand tonight? I want you to raise it up. Amen. God's Word. There's all kinds of promises in God's Word. And I'm thankful tonight that the Bible said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll go with thee even into the end of the world. Hey, listen, I'm glad that's exactly what it means. I'm glad if he promised all that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's exactly what he means. You see, he says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let me say something tonight. You can tilt your head upward, amen, and look for it, because he's coming back. Peter knew what he was going to face, amen, but he rested in the promises of God. You see, but notice what happened here. The angel of the Lord basically smote him on the side, said, wake up. Boy, I got thinking about when the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me. I want to tell you something today. You know what does this right here, my friend? When you walk into a church, man, folk are crying and saying, hey, I need to get saved. Who told them that? Huh? Who told them that? They heard the Word of God. They heard the Word of God. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, you've heard the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hey, listen, what God does, he honors the Word. He honors the preached Word. And God, the Holy Ghost, goes drawing and dealing with individuals, and they realize, hey, I'm lost without God. I'm not saved. Not saved. And that's exactly what happened to me. I'll tell you something today. We go through life, and thank God, God gave us another night. My friend, tonight, if you was able to make it and you feel good and if you was able to come tonight, you ought to raise your hand to glory and just thank God just one time. And my friend, if you're here lost tonight and you cannot go back to a place where you know the Lord saved your soul, amen. Thank God he allowed you to come one more time to hear the preached Word of God to a place where folk love you. You say, preacher, they don't know me. Listen, let me say something today. God knows all about you. He knows your background. He knows your family history. But you know what the Bible said in Romans 5:8? But God commendeth his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means he knew all about you, yet he loved you. Amen. And he paid your sin debt. You know, a lot of times I can come in here and I can fool you. You can fool me. But here's the truth of the matter. Jesus knows. He knows who are his. My friend, he's going to continue to honor his word. My friend, as you're sitting here tonight and you're taking an inventory, my friend, are you saved? Listen tonight. Thank God I can stand and say, I know that I know that I know. I know that I know that I know. You say, how do you know? Because I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I did what the Word of God said. Amen. I heard the Word. My friend, that light, that messenger, I sent that message out. That light shined down in my dark soul. I realized I was lost, and the Holy Spirit of God came to where I was. Amen. And He convicted me, and He drove me, and I realized I was lost. I realized being a Sunday school teacher wouldn't cut it. I realized church membership wouldn't cut it. And I realized that Jesus was the only way. Do you remember where you were when the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of you? Keep in mind, my friend, as Peter was in prison, there was a prayer meeting going on. What was the church doing? The church was there at Mary's house, and they were praying. Hey, praying day and night for about a week, amen. What were they praying for? They were praying for Peter, amen. The church was being persecuted. They were praying for Peter, amen. Keep that in your mind. As the messenger, you see, the messenger, the angel of the Lord came, and of course, smote Peter on the side. But notice, there was no resistance on Peter's part. The message came, get up. Get up. Arise. All right, Peter had a decision to make. He could have laid there and said, nah, I'm not going to get up. I'm going to stay right here. Tell you something, you've got the same decision to make. God's here tonight. Wednesday night crowd, this home church crowd, God's dealing with your heart tonight. You've got a decision to make. He will not force Himself on anybody. He comes to where you're at. You realize your loss. That light right now tonight, as the messenger is preaching, that light is shining down in your soul, and you realize that you're lost without God. Amen. And God's saying, you know He wants you to come, to come. But listen, friend, you've got to make a decision on what you're going to do with Christ. What are you going to do with Him? The Holy Ghost of God saying, hey, and I'm going to use Randy as an example. Randy, arise, arise. Jesus wants to save you. Arise, arise, arise. Jesus wants to save you. Then you're sitting there and you realize you're lost. You've got a decision to make. You're sitting there in the chair. You're sitting there. Things going through your mind. What will people think? Oh, I'll put it all. Let me tell you something. The Bible said today's the day. Now's accepted. What are you going to do with Christ? I mean, I know what I did with Him. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, I've slept good ever since. Pretty good. Amen. If I didn't sleep good, it wasn't because of my salvation. Amen. It's because I ate something late at night. Amen. Man alive, they're about to kill me, feed me. Boy, it's been good this week. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never rest like you will when you get the peace of God down in your soul. While the church was praying, my friend, not only did the angel smote Peter on the side, there was no resistance on Peter's part. And let me ask you tonight, or make this statement, if the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart tonight and you're sitting there and God is dealing with you and you realize you need to get saved, why don't you make the right decision tonight? Amen. Don't resist the Holy Spirit when He said, arise. Amen. Come up. Hey, accept Christ as Savior. Amen. Don't resist Him. I'll tell you something tonight. Most folk, if I had the money, Brother Brian, man, if I had the money, if I borrowed money off Brian tonight, and I come to you and I said, man, I'm going to give you $10,000, that'd be pretty good news, wouldn't it? Not for you. It'd be good for that person, right?
That's right. That's right.
But you know what? Jesus Christ paid the price. He shed His life's blood. For everyone in here tonight, I mean, he's offered this whole world eternal life through Jesus Christ, his son. Amen. The free gift of salvation. Amen. They hear the word of God. God deals with their heart. That light shines down there. He deals with them. He draws them. They realize they're a sinner. Why in the world wouldn't you want the free gift of salvation? Church is praying. The church is meeting in that prayer meeting. They're at Mary's house. Peter's in prison. Peter's facing a trial. Peter's most likely going to be put to death. Amen. But the church is praying. While the church was praying, then his chains fell off. Verse number 7. It said, and his chains fell off from his hands. Do you want to be delivered from those chains? You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I remember what it's like to be on that slave market of sin. You either belong to Jesus or you belong to the devil. Amen. One of the two. You say, preacher, I don't look at it that way. You either belong to Jesus or you belong to the devil. Amen. And you, if you've not been saved, you're on that slave market of sin. Listen, you can be released. You're hearing the word of God? Amen. The messenger's bringing forth the message. The light's shining down in your soul. God, the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart right now. You've got a decision to make. If you accept Him, listen to this. All that baggage of sin you've been carrying over the years. Amen. He can free you. Amen. Amen. Why in the world would you want to carry it around? Thank God He paid your sin debt. Amen. If you would put your faith in a risen Savior, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He will free you. There's liberty in Christ Jesus. Church is praying. His chains fell off. If you want to be delivered tonight, just believe the word. Whatever your sins are, come to Christ. Trust Him and find deliverance. My friend, this world is looking to many things. They're trying a lot of things. I want to ask you to try Jesus. I'll tell you, nobody will ever satisfy you like Jesus does. Oh, the more I hunger and the more I thirst after righteousness, the things that are right. I'll tell you something tonight. I want to get closer to Him. I want to get closer to Him. Why don't you just believe the Word? I want you to see the way the church is praying. Get your things on. Look there in verse number 8. The Bible said, the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Amen. That's what the Lord did for us. Amen. Listen, when we're in that filthy old garment of sin, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'll tell you, as I told you the other night, my uncle sings that song. There's two coats. There's two coats before me, an old and a new. I could have either, so what must I do? This coat, it fits me. It keeps me so warm. It's good in the winter. It's good in the storm. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do is I put off the old coat and I put on the new. Listen, friend, that's the best thing that I ever did do. When God the Holy Spirit convicted me and I realized in myself that I would go into hell, but Jesus Christ and died on the cross and paid my sin debt, and all I had to do is trust Him by faith. And my friend, thank God, that robe of righteousness, my friend, listen, when I got accepted Christ as personal Savior, and my friend, thank God, that imputed righteousness, that robe of righteousness, and when I pray to God, thank God, when God sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb, amen, the blood of the Lamb. I may not look like much to you. I may not look like much to the world. But did you know this old country boy from Mud Hollow, Virginia? Hey, did you realize, my friend, that I'm royalty? Did you realize if you're from Buchanan and if you've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you're royalty tonight? I'm an heir with God and I'm a joint heir with Christ. And thank God, because of the blood of Christ, I can access the throne of grace, amen, and say, Father, amen. And because the blood has been applied, thank God, amen. Thank God, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb, amen. That excites me just a little bit, amen, just a little bit. Church is praying. Church is praying. You'll find in verses 9 and 10 that Peter and the angel went through one door and another, the door opened of its accord, and then Peter went through a free man. I want you to notice, lastly, sometimes we pray and we pray, and when God answers, we can hardly believe it. Look here in verse number 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. And from all the expectation of the people of the Jews, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As I've been telling you, the church has been praying. If the church wasn't praying, amen, the angel wouldn't have came. Amen. The church was praying, so the angel came. Amen. The church was praying. Listen earnestly. They were faithful praying. Amen. Crying out to God day and night for a week, and the angel came. Notice what it says, verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. When the church prays, when the church gets serious, and the church knew that there was a brother in need, a brother in a circumstance, they met at prayer meeting, and they prayed earnestly for his deliverance. They prayed for him. Now the answer is knocking at their door. Now, they've been praying for this. He's knocking at the door. I was just glad when Peter got out of prison, man, he wanted to go to prayer meeting. He wanted to go to prayer meeting. And listen, I believe Rhoda was brave. I believe Rhoda was brave in even going to the door. Because Herod, his men, amen. But can you imagine you've been in there day and night and day and night and day and night and day and night and day and night praying for Peter's deliverance, and all of a sudden you hear a knock on the door. And when Rhoda came in there and she heard Peter's voice, I like this. Hey! She recognized Peter's voice, and instead of opening the door, she is so excited, she went running in there. Hey, Peter's out there. We'd fall over in a Baptist church. Somebody did that. Amen. I mean, they're in there earnestly praying and trusting God. Peter's knocking at the door. Rhoda answers. Hey, she said, she recognized the voice running there and said, hey, Peter's in there. May I see if this is you tonight? Let's see what they said. Notice verse 15. And they said unto her, what's those next three words? Woo! Thou man! Are you crazy? Oh, I'm going to go on from that one. Amen. But, verse 15, she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Uh-oh, they had another chance. Then said they, it is his angel. First of all, you're crazy. Second of all, it's his angel. They believed in guardian angels. Amen. Notice what Peter kept doing, verse 16. But Peter continued knocking. Thank God. Amen. The church is praying. God's answering the prayers. Their answer's right there knocking on the door. She's running in there telling, he's out there. Their prayer keeps on knocking back. Amen. I like it. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I cannot criticize these individuals. You know why? Because I was like these individuals just a week or two ago. We meet at prayer meeting, man. I'm telling you something. I believe God. I believe God can still do wonderful things. Miracles. Amen. And we've been having problems. We don't have the land that you all have here. Brother Brian's been down there. You know, we've got this lot and the parking. We needed parking. And it bothers you when you go out there and folk can't find parking. Amen. So what we needed, amen, what was another piece of land. So you know what I told him? I said, we're going to pray for this lot over here. This wooded lot. You know that wooded lot to the left? Well, let me give you some background on this. When we were in the old building years ago, over 100 and some year old building, we tried, when we were growing, we tried to buy a little strip to put a baptistry in there. But the guy wouldn't sell it to us. So that put us in a new direction of building the new building. So in back of my mind, I'm thinking, this guy's not going to sell us that land. And I even preached one day. I said, I'm going to share with the church my vision. And I said, it may not happen in my ministry here, but we're going to have that land over there. Amen. So we started praying for it. And I started to call the guy's brother, and he didn't answer. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to turn over to you. This is your church. These are your people. You know the need. A couple Wednesday nights ago, a few Wednesday nights ago, his brother was there in prayer meeting. And he just came down to the front and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I want you to pray about this. Da, 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 da. And I was like, man alive, here we go. I was praying, Lord, do you want me to talk to him about this? Yeah. So I said, hey, brother, I need your brother's number. We need that lot over there. He said, okay. He said, I told him that y'all was praying about that land. He said, he'd sell it to you. Amen. I mean, I was sitting there like this. I said, praise the Lord. Give me his number. Man, I called him up. I said, Ed, this is Preacher Dillard. We need you, Lord. I cut to the chase. I said, we need you, Lord. We've been praying about it. He said, yeah. He said, I told him I'd sell it to you. I'm not going to stand between you and God. Yeah. Hey, I already told the church if God wants us to have, if he wants us to have the whole corner, thank God he'll make a way. Amen. Amen. I'm excited. Astonished. I'll go even farther than that. I was praying on what to, because he said, I want you to make us an offer. I don't like to price another man's property, do you? I said, brother, I'd really like for you to price your property. No, he said, I figure since you've been praying, you can tell me how much. Man, I told my deacons, I said, man alive, I didn't ask God how much. Amen. Woo! I didn't know. Amen. So the Lord started pressing my heart. $15,000. $15,000. I met my deacon the other night. My other deacon was a little bit late coming in. I said, this is what I feel like. I said, $15,000 for that lot right there. He said, yeah. He said, I'd rather him price it. I said, me too. He said, we can say, this was his very word, this is what it probably costs an acre. This is this amount of land. So $15,000. We got over there. I said, Ed Widener, I said, I know you've asked us to price your land, but I really want you to price it. I said, what will you sell us this land for? He said, you know, preacher, he said, I've been thinking about this. It goes about $35,000 an acre. I was thinking $15,000. Woo! $15,000. I said, praise God. Amen. Amen. We'll even put you a privacy fence up. Amen. You tell me, God, no. Hey, God is still on the throne tonight. Amen. When the church prays, amen, things happen, thank God. Things still happen. Amen. Believe God. Pray and earnestly pray. God's not through with Valley View. God is not through with you. Amen. Astonished. Verse 17. But he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace. Can you imagine coming in there, everybody running up to you and saying, everybody talking at one time. He's like, hold your peace. Let me say something. Amen. Notice this. Declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. You know, as I was studying, I thought about it. Church was praying. Peter's in prison. God was able to get Peter out of prison, but Peter couldn't even get into prayer meeting. Peter couldn't even get himself into prayer meeting. Yeah, but he kept on trying. He didn't give up. And I'm going to tell you, if the church ever gets a hold of truth, the power in prayer. I'm going to tell you something. Prayer is the most. Hey, listen, we neglect prayer. I'm talking about, I'm holding my hand up. If we ever truly got a hold of the power of prayer and how God is able, amen, and you get earnestly praying, faithful to God, trusting God, there's no telling what He'll do in this place. I believe that. He got in and he said, I thought, man, wow, I guess since they were praying for me, I'm going to go to prayer meeting and tell them what God did. It's good to hear about you answer prayers every now and then. It's good to get up and say, Pastor Boone, I just want to give you this praise. Amen. We've been praying about this and my loved one got saved. Pastor Boone, I had this need. We've been praying about this and thank God God met the need. And give Him glory. Give Him praise, the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what it said there. Verse 17. He said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. He departed and went to another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. Satan wants you to think all the religions. Amen. And you're sitting here and you're trying to stick to the Word of God and you're trying to preach. And listen, there's all these things coming up and these buildings raising up and people running to and fro. Didn't the Bible say it'd be like that in the last days? Amen. People would heap to themselves, teachers having itching ears, tickle your ears a little bit. I tell you, you better give me a church, amen, that'll tell me the truth. But a church that prays, I'm going to tell you something. God will do some things. And I'll tell you what else will happen. People outside of here, they're going to be astonished. They're going to be wondering what's going on. Because let me say this. I've had visitors even come. Folk are starting to hear about prayer meeting and about prayers answered. And even at revival, man, folk was coming up and I'd look at them and they was crying and they would stick just visitors. They'd hear about that and they'd stick names. And boy, I tell you, some will say, at work, I heard about the basket. Amen. Let's put that in there. And we pray and we take it serious. So let me ask you tonight. I'm done. Do you have somebody lost on your heart tonight? I want to ask everybody in here tonight. Maybe you've got a brother that's lost. Maybe you've got a sister that's lost. Maybe you've got a husband that's lost, a wife that's lost. Amen. Maybe you've got an uncle, an aunt, a grandparent, maybe a co-worker. I want you to get somebody on your mind tonight that you'd like to see them saved. How many of you got somebody on your mind tonight?
all over the building. Would you like to see them saved? What about revival tonight? How many of you would like to be revived? How many got other needs you know of tonight that you'd like to see God answer those prayers? How many of you got them? I'm going to ask you in just a second. We did this at the church the other night. I was sharing with Brother Boone. And this evangelist came in and he asked a similar question about seeing your loved one, about seeing that one that's on your heart, seeing him saved. And he said in just a second, he said, I want you to come up here. And he didn't ask folk to kneel. He said, I just want you to come up here if you've got somebody on your heart that you want to see saved. And he said, I want you to come up here and I want you to stand and I want you to pray over that individual. Man, we need revival. We need souls. He said, you come up here representing that individual and you pray over them. And I'll tell you something. It was something to see that church just stand. I mean, I was praying, Brother Boone. I was praying. But when I looked up, hey man, saw those the church, my friends, standing there representing somebody that they were crying out to God for. We need to pray to church. And you might be here tonight and you're lost and God's dealing with your heart. Would you find somebody in here tonight and say, hey, I don't want to go another day. I know that God shined that light down in my heart. I need to be saved. If you're able tonight, if you're able and if you will, would you come up and would you stand? That one on your heart, would you stand around up here, would you? As you stand, as you come and you just bow your head tonight, I want you to give that one on your heart that you're bringing to God and that you're praying for. Amen. What a blessing. I want you to cry out to God. Amen. Just pray to yourself there for that loved one that needs the Lord. Amen. Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, I come as I think about those on my heart tonight. I've got uncles tonight. Jimmy, Hans, Helen, Daniel, Rhonda, Jimmy, Kim. Lord, I've got cousins tonight. Amy, Nathan, Beth. Lord, I've got a brother tonight. Now the will of God. And God, I know in our efforts, I think about this story. Lord, even though those individuals, the church, had faith that Jesus could deliver Peter, it showed how weak their faith was. And they were astonished, and Lord, but you blessed even weak faith. And Lord, I pray you'll take my weak faith, Lord, tonight. God, that revival fires, and not only burn here in Buchanan, but revival fires will burn in Meadowview. The revival fires will burn in Damascus and Bristol and all these areas, and Roanoke, all these areas around. But Lord, may a fire, Lord, be kindled here in this revival, in a soul that they realize the power of prayer and those souls that they're crying out. May we hear reports, Lord, that these souls will be saved and that this church will grow for the glory of God. I pray for that tonight. God, we have that desire. We know you on the throne. We know you hear us tonight. But I pray for someone here lost tonight. God, that you won't let them leave this place. The Holy Ghost conviction will be upon them. They'll realize they won't leave here. They'll realize they need Jesus. God, I ask for that tonight. Thank you for their obedience. Thank you for this pastor. In Jesus' name. Thank you, church. Amen.
I thought Brother Dwayne was going to share this with you, and I don't know if he's going to. I'm probably going to spill the beans tonight. He beat all around the bush, but some of you know this, and a lot of you might know it already. Not know it. Brother Dwayne